again, I think it's about listening and being open, making sure, we always say be kind, but it's also, making sure that you are not taking more than you're giving.
Greetings, fellow Earthlings and intrepid, purpose-driven listeners. Welcome to the Slow Dive Podcast, where we explore creativity, impact, and community through deep, meaningful conversations. It is I, Farida, your host, and Drew, our producer, back again after an eventful summer break, hiatus, burnout, all of the above. Well, we are back, and we are caffeinated. And I hope all of you guys are doing fabulous. Today, we are joined by Sasheen Artis, a three-time Emmy Award-winning producer and the founder and CEO of Plenty of Pie, a talent incubator and production accelerator that helps emerging and mid-career creatives bring their film, TV, and documentary projects into the marketplace. With over 25 years producing film, television and live events, including a Prince concert, two national book tours, and projects with the President Barack Obama, Secretary Hillary Rodham Clinton, Robert Duvall, and Jonathan Demme, to name a few, Sasheen brings a wealth of experience and vision to our conversation. In 2024, she received an LA Area Emmy Award for Bonnie Boswell Presents Saving Moms. She's also led the Producer Guild of America's Power of Diversity Master Workshop, worked internationally with the Royal Film Commission in Jordan, and started her career at Paramount Home Entertainment on campaigns for Titanic, Mission Impossible, and Star Trek The Next Generation. Sasheen is a proud member of the Television Academy, the Producers Guild of America, Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated, and the PBS SoCal Community Advisory Board. We are so excited to dive into Sasheen's journey and insights on building pathways for impactful storytelling. So please, let's welcome Sasheen. Hello, Sasheen. How are you?
I am excellent. Thank you so much for having me, Farida.
No, thank you for joining us. We have so much to cover, and well, we always start with our icebreakers right away. So let's start with that. What was the last family tradition you practiced, Sasheen?
The last family tradition I practice, I'm a cooker. I love to cook. And so mm-hmm. I always cook for the holidays. It really doesn't matter which holiday. I love, like, Thanksgiving is my favorite, but I do them all. So I think my last family tradition was cooking for the holidays last year when my friend from high school came to visit.
Oh, wow. Can I ask you what you made?
Oh my goodness. I believe, my menu was a roast turkey stuffing with cranberries, apples, and sausage, macaroni and cheese. It was a lot. String beans.
That's right. I mean, Thanksgiving is right around the corner. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had dinner yet, but that sounded really yummy. Mm-hmm. Here's another one. If you are not in the entertainment industry, what industry would you be in, Sasheen?
You know, honestly, I have absolutely no idea. I went to school for psychology. My plan was to be a clinical psychologist, but I think I was here. I was put here on this planet to do exactly what I'm doing now. So I can't imagine doing anything else, literally.
No. I mean, and you know, I think filmmaking, entertainment, kind of like psychology related. You're working with a lot of different personalities and
lots of different personality, lots of crazy out there. And it's really, you know, when I got started, I started in marketing, and that was just like the perfect bridge from, you know, understanding the human mind, understanding the persons. And it, you know, doesn't matter what type of person, it really was what was going to convince someone to pick, you know, a package off the shelf. And this was back in the day, you know, during Blockbuster days where you actually had actual VHS tapes. Mm-hmm. You know, what would convince someone to pick it up off the shelf and read the back? And that was my job. My job was to, you know, create all these little stickers and incidental items that was going to get someone to pick it off the shelf. So that idea of understanding the human characteristics, understanding the human motivation is something that I use to this day.
Oh my gosh. You said Blockbuster. I missed the Blockbuster weekends, like getting done with school and heading over there on the weekend and like going through those aisles and then buying like those, the movie size candy. And it was such an experience just to go there. And yeah, those were good days. I mean, kind of, I mean, I love the streamers, instant, but there was something
gratification. But I think we've lost a lot in our instantness, mm-hmm. in that fast. You know, this idea that I must have it right now. I don't have to earn it. You know, I just go and I flip through mindlessly, and I probably end up on some rerun because there's so much new stuff. You know.
Yeah. No. But that's important. Okay. One more question. What was your favorite childhood cartoon?
Okay, so. My absolute favorite, and this was like way, way, way back, really childhood, was Tom and Jerry. I was totally for the cat and mouse. I loved just the energy, the hijinks, the classical music, which, you know, is one of those things that you don't realize you're getting. But then, you know, when you're older, like, oh, I know that piece. I know it from Tom and Jerry.
Yeah. Now, I mean, did you ever feel sorry for Jerry? I felt like Jerry was very provoking.
It was just, you know, that natural cat chases mouse, mouse gets away, and we come and do that all over again. So I loved it.
I know that was a great one. Yeah, I love that one too. That's a good one. Nostalgic. All right. Well, we will now go to we'll go to our first segment. I mean, you're a 3-time Emmy winner, Sasheen. So we must ask about your origin story, your creative journey. So Sasheen, you've had such a dynamic career from marketing at Paramount to producing. What drew you into storytelling and production?
Again, I was originally planning, you know, in terms of my career to be a clinical psychologist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I, you know, taking the GREs, I was getting ready to apply to all these grad schools. And this was back in the day where you had electric typewriters, and I had my little electric typewriter with my stack of applications. And I clearly heard God say, that is not what I had planned for you. Mm. And I'm like, oh, okay. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I will do. And so I basically came down to LA with, you know, a carload, a rental carload full of stuff, you know, about $3,000 in the bank and a lot of dreams. I was like, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do. And I, you know, I got down here. I didn't know anyone. I didn't have family down here. And I just said, okay, I'm here. I've moved into this little apartment in Van Nuys. What's next? And for mm-hmm. the life of me, I couldn't break in. I, you know, I had my little Stanford degree, you know, I'm like, oh, I can go network and meet alumni. Didn't work. And it was, you know, to the point where it was just like, okay, I'm running out of money. What am I going to do? And so I started temping, and I temped. My first temp job was on a construction site as a project manager. Mm. And it was back right after the Northridge earthquake, California State University, Northridge. They're like everything had collapsed or whatever. And so I was there on site helping them rebuild their science building. And that was my summer of 95.
Wow.
I got, you know, and it was like, okay, what's next? I did that and ended up, and this was, you know, again, back in the day, didn't have a car, was on the bus. And to, you know, talk to a woman, you know, a Black woman who was in the industry. She was an assistant, and she was like, oh, come to my church. And I was like, oh, so I, you know, the next Sunday I came, I showed up.
Yeah.
And I'm Episcopalian by trade, if you will. Mm-hmm. And her church was, you know, a community church with, you know, kumbaya guitar, et cetera. And I was like, okay. But she saw that I showed up, and she said, you know what? You should check out the temp agency I'm with. And she referred me, went there, you know, then they're still in existence, Executive Temps. They're in Burbank.
Oh, wow.
The owner, he gave me a shot. You know, I was literally out of college. It was like, I had just turned 21. And he was like, okay, I'm gonna give this woman a shot. And so he placed me at Paramount Pictures, and I was in the accounting department at Creative Services. And I spent that entire summer, like stamping purchase orders. That was my job. That's all mm-hmm. I did for like 3 months. But while I was there, I was on the lot. It was like, ooh, I'm on the lot. And one day this woman, again, someone who I wasn't really networking. I said, good morning and good evening. She came by my desk. She's like, Sasheen, I'm leaving the company. Do you want my job? Sure. I don't know what you do. But I want your job. And so she introduced me to her boss, and her boss was the vice president of creative services in home video. And so I became the executive assistant. And I did that for 4 years. And, you know, it was great. I was, you know, working on all these main, you know, these major theatrical titles, also their catalog titles, which, you know, they had, you know, Star Trek and Peanuts and Rugrats and all these, you know, Nickelodeon things. And so I got to understand marketing. And that was really key to have that foundational experience, because then I was there for 4 years and then I pivoted into TV production. And I was still in the Viacom family. And that's when I discovered the world of production. And I was mind blown. We went up to Vancouver and shot a pilot of a show that was on the air for a while on Lifetime called The Division. We were shooting in January, and our show was supposed to be set in San Francisco. And if you know anything about San Francisco, there is no snow ever in San Francisco, but there's a whole lot in Vancouver in January. And the guys, we had this walk and talk, and the guys melted the snow off the ground to have the actors do a walk and talk. And I was mind blown. I was like, oh, you don't have to go to another location. You don't even have to shoot in San Francisco. You just have to melt the snow. And that idea of this world of make-believe, this world where you create whatever it is you've written on the page, was just fascinating to me. And so that's where I was like, okay, I'm a producer. I want to do this. This is where I love.
I love that. So at that time at Paramount, when you were in Vancouver staging San Francisco lookalike, were you a producer at that time, or a production manager or coordinator?
No, I was an assistant. I was assistant to the showrunner. And this was a TV show, and I was basically at her hip for from 5 a.m. to like 3 p.m. after midnight. And it was insane because I literally couldn't do anything else. But that kind of gave me a crash course in production. And because this was, again, back in the day where we had 22 episodes and we were literally going gangbusters nonstop from, you know, we were a mid-season replacement. So we would, you know, start writing in June and be able to start shooting in January. It would air in January. So we would start shooting in September. And it was nonstop until May. And so it gave me this understanding of you can produce something in 8 days. Yes, you can get something on air. You can take notes. And just taught me the true, that industrialized process of getting stuff on air. And that, I think, was really helpful just in my understanding of how production can be done.
No, that's really great to hear, because you took a chance, you kind of stepped out on that hero's journey, you found someone that kind of was like, hey, I have a place for you to go if you were looking for work. And then that one thing led to another, and then here you go. And I love hearing that. I love hearing that. Behind your Emmy wins, like out of those projects, which ones do you think represent you both creatively and personally, or which ones do you feel like you resonated with the most or enjoyed working on the most?
You know, I think all of them have value. When I got my first two Emmys, I got them on a series called Lost LA. And, you know, we did 6 episodes that season, and they were so, you know, different and varied and interesting. And it's all PBS projects. So it really had that. It resonated with me just in terms of learning and having to research and learn all the things in order to produce something quality. I think with the my most recent in 2024, that one it's a critical story about Black women's health and the ability to have safe and healthy births. Now, I don't have children, but it is a travesty in this country that we as women cannot have safe and healthy births. And so I think each of the projects that I've worked on are really important to me because it's about impact. It's about, it's always about entertainment, but it's always also about impact and education.
And that project is Birthing Justice. It's a documentary.
No. That project was Saving Moms.
Saving Moms. Okay.
Bonnie Boswell presents Saving Moms.
Saving Moms. Where can we watch that? Is that available?
I believe it's still on pbs.org.
Okay.
And it's part of the PBS SoCal digital space, so you can always go to that.
Yeah, no, we will definitely link all your amazing projects that we can on our episode guide because, yes, that is a maternal health. And Black maternal health is definitely an impactful issue that you're raising with film. And so, yes, I would love to watch that because I also am a kind of in that space with a film right now. And I'm like, this is great. So as you've worked through film and television, Sasheen, like how did you navigate like where to go from live events or to TV? Like what was that kind of like as a producer? How do you pick your projects or how did that work out for you? Like, obviously, it worked out really well. You're doing really great. But in that time when you were first like starting off as an emerging producer.
Let's go back. So when I finished working on The Division, I pivoted to live events. One of my really good friends and sorority sisters, she asked me to come help out on a youth event. It was this huge conference in DC. And so I was like, okay, I can definitely help you with that. And so I did that youth event. And the thing that was interesting about that is that it was live. It was live TV. So it was not just you have all this audience. You also have TV cameras and you cannot have dead air. So it was a really interesting experience for me because I had never had the live television aspect as opposed to filming something for 8 days and cutting it together, et cetera. So that was really, really unique for me. And I think from there, I went into live production, probably just trying to capture that adrenaline rush because it is so amazing to, you only have one shot. You don't get another take. It has to be perfect when the curtains come up. And so I did a live event. I worked with Tavis Smiley, who was a PBS broadcaster, and I produced all of his live television events, his galas, book tours, everything that had an audience component and a television component I did. And it was spectacular in that it taught me. We had a very small team. It was, we didn't have a huge group of folks. And it taught me to be resourceful. It taught me to be fast. And it also taught me to, be able to ideate something that's going to actually resonate with an audience. So thinking about, who your audience is and making sure that you have created an experience for them that is going to resonate with them and that they're going to enjoy and learn from. So going into live event television was amazing. And then I pivoted into documentary. He had asked me, he had gotten a deal with PBS and he asked me to do all of these documentaries that he had, it was like maybe six, I think it was like six individually standalone documentaries. I think they were like maybe 60 minutes each. And so that was interesting because now it's a little bit, a little bit slower, but you still have a deadline and you still have to deliver. And now you're talking about, different issues, current events, you're working with newsmakers, you're working with, incredible filmmakers like Jonathan Demme. Now you're really, I was getting into, I am a producer now. This is my title. This is my responsibility. I have to deliver on time, on budget, a quality piece of work. And, I started doing documentary in 2009. And that's having, worked since 1995 in the entertainment industry. So it's really just been this time where I pivot to these opportunities. People say, hey, Sasheen, are you interested? Or, hey, Sasheen, I need help. And, if it's something that I think I can help with, that I know I can, bring my level of experience and my level of excellence to, then I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, no. I mean, You have covered all the different types of storytelling and mediums, which is great, which I think is like the skill set of a producer, that not only to be pivoting and always thinking of contingencies and how to adapt to that. So how are you feeling about where we are now, like in independent producing? Like, what are your thoughts for independent producers right now for pivoting from TV to film or film to TV? Because as you know, there's been a lot of TV shows that have left LA. So people who are like crew and producers or TV producers, well, TV crew especially. What are your thoughts on that? Like someone who's still here in Los Angeles.
I'm still crazy enough to be here, right?
Yeah, same here. I'm pretty crazy too. You know,
I love Los Angeles. I'm originally from New York, and although I like having grown up in New York, I am perfectly happy living here in LA.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the quality of our crews. I appreciate the diversity of our locations. And, you know, you have the infrastructure here that is second to none. I mean, we have the infrastructure worldwide. No one can compare to the millions of square footage of stages we have, but the resources we have, the technology and the innovations we have, that is incomparable. The thing that is most difficult is that everything costs a grip. It's really like ridiculously priced. People are finding, hey, I could go to Latvia and make my project for 1/10 of the cost and no one's the wiser, because we all operate in this world of make-believe. But there has to be something said for sticking to the value and the resource that we have created, that we have, you know, we've perpetuated across this world. We have actually, you know, we've gone to all these different countries and helped train and provided resources, et cetera, for their industries.
But yeah.
It's one of those things, as a producer, I prefer to be at home. And for folks that, you know, they're looking at their bank accounts, I mean, I'm looking at mine like, okay, Lord, what are we doing here? But at a certain point, you have to say, no. We are going to dig in and we're going to find the opportunities, make the opportunities, create the opportunities to make sure that we can continue to do business in our city. That is important. And it's something that everyone, whether they are A-list actors, A-list producers, A-list directors, they have the power to say, no, we are staying here in Los Angeles. And they have to be able to exercise that power.
I love that. And I second that. I feel very much that the pipeline and the blueprints have already been created here in Southern California and greater Los Angeles and LA, quote, Hollywood. So yeah, I'm all about let's create and build here. Let's continue. And this might just be a phase, but it's disruptive, but we can get back to it. Well, we have to shift to the community building. Now, I know I first want to talk about like you were invited by His Royal Highness, Her Royal Highness, Princess Rima Lee and the Royal Film Commission of Jordan. What were you doing in Jordan, Sasheen? Tell us. I want to know.
Well, actually, I was here. First of all, I was here, was invited to a reception from the Royal Film Commission, and had the privilege of meeting Her Royal Highness. And, you know, at the time I was running the Producers Guild's diversity workshop, and she was like, oh my God, I want this here. And I was like, okay. So several months later, I was in Jordan. And it is an amazing location. I was there during their familiarization tour, where they bring executives from all across Hollywood to come and see the various locations that Jordan has to offer. So I was there during that time, and I had the opportunity to create a curriculum and lead those classes for their creatives and help them understand the world of producing, understand how to pitch, how to develop their stories, understanding budgets and schedules, and, you know, all the things that producers need to know. And, you know, these were creatives. They had, you know, they had amazing talent. They were working in their, not just their country, but in other regions across the world. And they had this opportunity through the Royal Film Commission to develop their own projects. And so It was an amazing experience. I want to go back. It is a beautiful, beautiful country. And I truly appreciated the time I spent.
I love that, because that just, once again, just like the internet and streamers, I mean, producing is like cross-border collaborations. It's all collaborative. And I love that. What were some of your, are there any pivotal moments or any highlights from your time in Jordan that you can like, that you working with the students or the, or mentees or of the lab?
I think, you know, just first of all, just being in a new culture is important. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for everyone, even if you're not even in the industry, to go elsewhere. And it doesn't matter where, you could go elsewhere outside of our borders and see that everyone is doing basically the exact same thing we're doing here. They're going to work, they're going to the store, they're feeding their families, they're living their lives, and we are all the same. Yeah. So I think that's incredibly important for folks. And then with, you know, the culture, and, you know, there's a whole host of different types of people in Jordan. Mm-hmm. Jordan has the unique experience of being in the middle of a lot of conflict, but yeah. They're like one of the only peaceful countries there. And they're also one of the most under-resourced countries there. So they were really intentional about building their entertainment industry. So now they are like the world-class Middle Eastern country that can, you know, can bring in Dune, bring in Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade, bring in all of these different major like Star Wars pictures to their country for filming, because they have the resources, they have the crew depth, and they have these amazing locations. And now they have a new studio that is going to help them really build their infrastructure and build their industry.
I love that you were there to launch this and to be on the ground and bringing those two entertainment communities together, you know, mm-hmm. American and Jordanian. I love that. Which brings me back to the amazing things that you're doing with your accelerator, Plenty of Pie. Mm-hmm. You've created a space for emerging and mid-career creatives through your mentorship. What inspired you to build Plenty of Pie? Like, what was the inspiration and the motivation? And tell us a little bit more about it.
Sure. So Plenty of Pie was really during the pandemic. It was, you know, 2020. I was still running the PGA's diversity workshop, and we had to figure out whether or not we were going to end it because of the pandemic or whether we're going to go online. And so I was like, okay, if I can build community online, I will, you know, do this year of the workshop online. It was successful. We were able to get a lot of great guests, lots of, you know, amazing speakers, and a lot of our folks, you know, benefited from that year, even though it was online. And so once the world opened and it's like, okay, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? It's like, okay, what are we doing? I was like, okay, I know I have the experience and the to provide this service. And when the PGA decided to pivot away from their long form programming, I was like, you know what? I can do this. I can create the infrastructure. I can, you know, craft the curriculum. I can bring in the guests, and I can do it online. And, you know, that obviously it's, you know, less costly, but there's, you know, it's just me. It's no longer me and an organization, it's just me. And I'm like, I know I can do this. And mm-hmm. So I launched Plenty of Pie in 2022 and started, you know, creating and researching curriculum, researched the California standards, the federal standards about what does a producer need to know by law? Like what's out there, understanding what those needs are. Okay, now that I've, you know, crafted a curriculum, the things that have to, you know, we have to understand is that our industry is very fluid. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that can be static. It has to always be evolving. So that's why I consider it very bespoke, because yes, there's some things that you have to know as a producer. You know, you need to know how to pitch. You need to know budget. You need to know schedule. You need to know distribution. But then there's so many other things like the emerging technology space. Mm-hmm. The green economy. How are you incorporating green practices into your production? all of that stuff has to be able to be evolving and continuously created. So I developed the curriculum, and then I launched in 2024 with my first class. And we had a class of 8 fellows all from across the country, again, all virtual. And we paired them with PGA producers who, you know, were folks that had worked with me in the diversity workshop and knew what I was trying to accomplish. And they were, you know, they were down for it. I was like, okay, let's make this happen. It's a, you know, it's a 12-week program. We meet twice weekly and in the evening so people could still work. And we also have the mentorship so that they, you know, we make sure that they have homework and they take a midterm pitch as well as a final pitch. And by the time they're finished with their program, they come out with a full production plan, meaning they have their budget, they have their schedule, they already applied with a script, and it could be, you know, it's feature, television, and docuseries. And with docuseries or documentary, we allow a treatment. Mm-hmm. And they come out with knowing, you know, they have their cast list, their director's list, all the components that they need in order to start, you know, getting their project up into the marketplace. And so we did that 2024. Then most recently, I had a class of 13 fellows for 2025. They actually wrapped about almost, I guess, maybe a month and a half ago. And that, again, you know, continuously evolving. This time, in addition to their production plan, that, you know, we made sure they had a pitch deck. Mm-hmm. Because that's something that's a very visual representation that folks can easily send. You don't have to send a script. You can send a pitch deck and people can review your work that way. And now all of their projects are being reviewed by a major distribution entity for, you know, actual production. And so, you know, I know that this is going to continue to grow, and hopefully at some point it'll be, you know, grow with staff and with funding and all the things. But, you know, right now it's, you know, I'm moving forward and people are doing the thing.
It sounds like a very beautiful, fruitful ecosystem you've created.
Yes.
And it's very much, I feel, community centered, because really, you know, at the beginning of our interview, our recording, you were saying, like, you know, you came into town, you didn't know anybody. So here you are creating pathways for talent who, so I think that's a beautiful thing. Definitely. I mean, I follow Plenty of Pie on LinkedIn, and I follow a lot of your fellows as well. And a lot of the ones that I follow as of now, incredibly talented people. Mm-hmm. And so I just love how you're paying it forward. And I envision it growing. How has it been received by your peers in the PGA and the film community?
Oh, you know, the thing that I realized is that I could not do this without the support of my PGA folks, my Television Academy folks. Mm-hmm. They have been incredibly supportive. They put me in contact with speakers. You know, this past summer, I had Nate Moore, who was the executive producer of Black Panther and producer of Captain America and Winter Soldier and all, you know, all amazing. These amazing things. We had, you know, folks from United Talent Agency and Heroes and Villains Entertainment. And all of that is based upon the relationships that I have through the PGA and the Television Academy. And, you know, my program is free and I want to keep it free because, yes, there are, you know, yes, you can, you know, pay and get your degree at USC or UCLA or LMU or et cetera. You can go to any film school. That's not what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is tell you the things that these film schools won't tell you. We're trying to give you practical information, and we're also connecting you to real human beings that are in the industry, that are open to talking, that are open to helping. And that is a rarity. And people always say, oh, you can green light yourself. But the problem I have with that phrase is that it really does take a community of folks. It is a collaborative effort, and it is not a solo job. You can't do any of this by yourself. You really do need people around you.
And I think one of the really dynamic parts of Plenty of Pie and all the other community building works you've done with the Film Commission of Jordan, the PGA Diversity, is that that kind of lessens the gatekeeping, right? Like, yes. We know, I mean, no one likes to talk about it because I'm a very positive person, but there is it is hard to break in. Absolutely. To the industry. So like your accelerator and all these other community organizations, they do make it easier for one to get in. And so so the next fellowship, right now you're in the fellows are for 2025. When will you guys be opening up the incubator for applicants?
So I open applications in March, okay. But I encourage folks to go to my website, plentyofpie.net, and go to our FAQs so you can see exactly what the application requires. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to help you when those applications open, be able to submit immediately as opposed to, I didn't know I needed a full script. Oh, I didn't know I needed all these different pieces. Bring your know it now. You have enough time. So that when we open, it's usually like March 1, when we open applications 2026, you have it, you can go ahead and submit. And we do have an application fee, but that's the only fee.
Oh, and that's totally fine, because let me tell you, you are providing such an amazing resource. And I love as a creative in the industry, I'm very grateful to all these acceleration programs, because it is hard to break in if you don't know someone or if you're from outside. So this is just wonderful. Moving on to our final segment, Sasheen, I wish we had you on for a couple of hours. I know we can talk some more and maybe we'll have you back, you know?
Sure.
I was going to ask you, the future of entertainment. With this evolving landscape with AI and the new storytelling platforms, what do you think are some opportunities or some challenges you think producers are running up against, in your opinion?
You know, I think particularly, you know, the AI landscape, there's a lot of hype and not necessarily a lot of, you know, products being delivered that are useful. And I hope that producers will take the opportunity to see what is out there and see how it can be beneficial to them, because we have a tendency to kind of, I'll try and figure this, a great way to say this. We have the tendency to not want to change and then get left behind, as opposed to testing it out, trying it out, see if it works. If it doesn't, move on. If it does, take it and put it in your toolbox. And that's okay. I think that, you know, the biggest challenge right now is with this idea of financing and getting your projects funded. And there is no direct path to that. People, they're cobbling together their short film budgets on crowdfunding and grants, etc. And, you know, the folks that are already in the system are getting greenlit to get their projects done. But what about all of the independent producers out there that produce quality work, but they may not have the access to the CAAs and the endeavors, etc.? What's their path? And I think hopefully maybe it's an AI tool, I don't know, but maybe there will be an opportunity for a film fund to be created, particularly hopefully in California, because that will also help bring jobs to our industry. See, you know, whenever there's a challenge, I always see challenges as opportunities, because someone has to create something. You know, there's nothing on this planet that wasn't created with someone saying, you know what, I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. And there's always someone behind anything that we see. So it's like, I know that, yes, this has been a very tough road. I mean, people have lost homes, they've lost their livelihoods, and it's insane. But I'm a believer, you know, through and through, and I have faith that if you keep walking towards the thing that God has put you on this planet to do, you will achieve it. You just have to keep walking towards it. You keep going.
Absolutely. I share that. I share that with you too. I walk in faith every day and I'm persistent. And I'm like, you know what? We'll try it and we'll see what happens. If not, I'll be shown something else and we'll go from there and adapting to that. And I feel like, yes, those are some really empowering, encouraging words, Sasheen. I think you put out a really great call for product designers. Maybe instead of AI, maybe we can figure out a product or a fund that maybe helps the $1 to $4 million film projects, right?
Yes, that is the goal. That's right now. I think if we can do a public-private partnership with philanthropy, with brands, with folks that want to see this arts community stay and grow and be robust and be diverse, then we need a fund that is going to provide that. And combined with the tax credit and a fund, that's literally hundreds of thousands of jobs that can be created over the next 10 years.
And what you said earlier, like, we have everything. We got the mountains, we got the desert, we got the ocean, we got Central California.
I mean, there's millions of square footage of stages that we have, the resources, we have the technology, you have, you know, amazing companies that have been here for 100, you know, almost 100 years doing amazing work. Let's make sure that they don't go out of business. Make sure that they can actually contribute to our economy here.
Well, I would put a call out to the impact investors and the VCs that are in the art space that definitely reach out to Sasheen at Plenty of Pie, because you are a seasoned 3-time Emmy Award winning producer, and you're already in the community building a pipeline and mentoring talent that could be making the $2 million, $3 million, $4 million projects and also employing 50-person crew here in California with this incentive. So I think we need is we need to bridge the gap, and we got to connect you with like an impact VC capital firm, and let's figure it out, because I think there is opportunity. And I know a lot of us, I consider myself an independent producer who's not in the studio system, who doesn't have a $20 million budget. We would be so grateful to support that. So yeah, maybe that's something, you know, we should put out there in the universe.
Yes, yes. From your mouth to God's ears.
All of us, right? That's how I feel, because that's the thing. Like, no one wants to leave. We all love it here. We love it here. We got everything here. We need the $1 to $4 million projects to be funded. And with the 35% tax incentives, tax credits, it's totally possible and sustainable. We just need a VC group. A foundation to support filming in LA and filming in California. And the talent's here. The talent is here. I will say, what do you want your legacy to be of your work going forward? If you have to put it out there, what would you like to do more of? And what would you like to, I mean, right now we just sent something big. I think that's a pretty big calling, and I think that will probably happen, but what else? What would you like to do in the future, Sasheen?
You know, with Plenty of Pie, I want to continue doing that. I want to continue to help cultivating, you know, new producers, making sure they have the resources, making sure they have the knowledge and the access. In terms of my own productions, I have projects that I'm working to get off the ground. So I definitely want to be able to produce my projects too. And if I could establish an ecosystem here in Los Angeles for, you know, historically marginalized communities, historically marginalized creatives to be able to not only make their projects, so film, television, and documentary, but also get them distributed, monetize them, be able to create this ecosystem where we pour right back into the community, I think that would be amazing. That's what I'd love to do.
I totally see it happening. I think you've already done that. You've already launched something. You've already set those. You already planted those seeds, Sasheen. I truly believe that. I will say, what are a few good traits what would you tell a producer they must have to be as crazy and delusional to enter into filmmaking? What are three traits they must possess, or at least cultivate within themselves?
I think they need to cultivate the act of listening. They need to be able to listen, because a lot of times we know what we want to do, and we want to accomplish that, and that's what our focus is. But sometimes, most of the time, all the time, we need to be able to listen. Listen to our teams, listen to the audience, listen to our communities that we represent, because sometimes when you're quiet and you're listening, not only will that help you ideate for future opportunities, but it also helps you be a better leader. Because now that you understand what the needs are around you, you can help service those needs while getting your thing done. So I think listening is important. It's almost the thing that you need to do. And also being open being open to, you know, new things, new stories, new culture. You know, I read a lot of scripts and there are projects that I personally would not necessarily go see because it's not necessarily speaking to me, but I know that it will speak to other audience. And so you give that opportunity to that project. It doesn't have to be about me. It doesn't have to be about something I like. I just have to see its value for its audience. And so I think being open is incredibly important. And I also, you know, being willing to make mistakes and to own those mistakes and learn from those mistakes. I mean, I think, you know, I have a culture of excellence that I bring to the table, but I also, you know, I have been homeless. I have, you know, I have experienced, you know, amazing, you know, poverty and you know, the things that have been in my life. And you can't shy away from those experiences. You have to, you know, say, okay, this is what happened, but guess what? I'm still here. I'm going to keep moving forward and I'm going to learn from those experiences. And I'm going to recognize that, you know, everything is not, you know, perfect, but I'm going to be in a perfect space to keep moving forward.
I love that. And I love that you shared what you just shared about like overcoming adversity and all that. And thank you for being vulnerable because that's something else. I mean, you have like, I just in this interview with you, you have such a bright light and such a great energy. And I can totally see why you're out here helping and mentoring. But what people rarely know is that usually on the other side of that, it comes through resiliency. It comes through a lot of adversity or at some adversity where people, so I see that. And I applaud you for creating a space for producers because we definitely need mentors who have blazed a trail, so to speak. So thank you for that, Sasheen. I really appreciate that. And I will say, I'm going to link all the goodies on our website and everything, because I definitely want to share your, I want people to know how to get a hold of you, especially any impact investors or venture capitalists, how to get a hold of Sasheen. She's a 3-time Emmy Award winning producer who's launched programs in Jordan here in Los Angeles and worked in different mediums. And did I mention she also worked with President Barack Obama as well, right? Like, so there we go. Yeah. So left that one out, but love him too. Last question before we close out, I have a reflective question. How can we be better humans on a daily basis?
Wow. We don't even have enough time for that answer.
I know. It has to be short though. We got a few minutes left, but
oh my goodness, how do we be better humans on a daily basis? I think it's about listening and being open, making sure, you know, we always say be kind, but it's also, you know, making sure that you are not taking more than you're giving. You know, It has to be balanced. You have to, if you're seeking, you know, yes, we're seeking, you know, a $500 million film fund, but what am I giving in return? You know, What am I giving to make sure that that's going to be of value to the, you know, the next 200 or 300 people that go through that project, you know, that
I
process.
Love that.
You know, so it's, you know, being able to listen, to be open and to give as much as you take.
I love that. And my mom used to say something to me like, you have two hands to receive. You also have two hands to give back.
Exactly.
You know, I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Sasheen. I know today's interview episode will really resonate with a lot of our listeners. And I'm so inspired and empowered by your insight. So I just wanted to say thank you. We're going to add your call to actions. Check out plentyofpie.net. The 2026 incubator class opens in March, and support public media and donate to your local public television or public radio station, because, you know, we have to support it this year. And
yes,
hopefully
we are the public. It's, yes. It's ours, and it's ours to support.
Thank you so much, Sasheen, for joining us. I am your host, Farida, signing off till next time. Remember, slow divers, to listen, reflect, and connect, right?
Thanks for listening to The Slow Dive. Please be sure to subscribe and give us a positive review wherever you get your podcasts. The Slow Dive is hosted by Farida Rafiq and edited by Drew Franzblau. Our theme music is Dive by Ciro.